Hello and welcome to another episode of Living with Dying, the podcast where we try to demystify death and dying and encourage people to talk about it more. And I've come today to Greenacres Chiltern Living Memorial Park, which is a beautiful place set in the Chiltern countryside, where people can have funerals and then they can have services here, and then they can either have burials in the garden or they can scatter ashes or bury ashes and have a memorial service in the room that we're sitting in right now. And I'm here today to talk to Jane Gregory, who runs a bereavement group here, which is monthly on a Saturday morning, and seems to be, because I've just been with you talking to the group, seems to be a thriving group.
It really is. It's something I'm quite passionate about, actually. The group is made up of people that come regularly, and we get new people coming most months. And that provides a really good mix because it shows the new people what the group means to everyone that attends regularly. And then they can make their own mind up. I'm very passionate about it because I don't think there's enough help out there for people. You have counselling or therapy, for which you probably have to wait weeks or months for. And there's nothing here really to help people just talk about their experience. And this group is great because we don't put a time limit on how many weeks you can attend. Anyone is welcome. They don't have to have had people that that had passed away and their service here or any connection. If they just want to turn up, they are all very welcome too. So it is my passion.
And it's brilliant. I mean, I've just observed a whole load of people talking about different aspects of their grief and their loss. And there's been a bit of a sense of humour in the room too. People have been laughing. New lady just arrived and you introduced her. And I understand from one of your attendees that you don't have to join in. You can just sit quietly and listen if you feel like it.
Absolutely. I mean, for a new person, it can be quite intimidating seeing everyone sitting around in a circle. So it does take a lot of courage anyway for somebody to attend. As we were discussing, they do have to feel ready. And we have had people get to the door and turn back. And you can't force them to come in, you know, they have to be ready. I mean, you want them to because you know it will help, but you can't actually force them. So, you know, it's at their own pace. Some people are quite shy and they don't want to join in, but they're happy to listen and they keep coming. So they must, you know, it must be doing something for them. And from that group, as they also mentioned, they've also made now a WhatsApp group to support each other during that month. If anyone's having a down day, somebody will be on the other end of that chat, or they meet up, some of them go to lunch and that. So it's sort of evolved. The meetings each month are very organic. I don't really have a plan. We just start talking, and then things, we don't talk about grief all the time. You can learn an awful lot from all these people that have got a lot of life experience. So, you know, you talk about anything and everything, but if somebody does want to share, they will support each other and they will listen and they will not judge because they've all been there.
And they're all benefiting from each other's experience.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, everybody brings something unique to that group. And it helps them and they help it. So it's a really good group.
Do you get feedback from them?
Yep, they really like it. You know, I was thinking, should I bring more people in? Should I bring more activities in? But I was reminded this is a bereavement group. It's not a social group. And actually, they don't want to. They're quite happy with the setup as it is. They just want to chat to each other once a month. You know, you come in, you share some stuff, and then, you know, you go off about your life. So, yeah, I think it works really well here.
And we sat around in a circle just now, but then you sort of broke it up and suggested they all get into their little groups. And is that what kind of organically
happens?
Well,
I don't really suggest. I mean, I don't often have a group discussion that goes on for the whole of the first half. I mean, as I said, last week we had a group discussion which became quite intense. So I did feel like we needed to pull back in and take a break. And then people just organically start chatting to the person next to them, and then they're in their groups. And that works. As long as nobody's feeling left out, that works. And if they are, that's where I step in. Otherwise, I don't get too involved because it's not my group, it's theirs. But I will step in if I see anyone that's particularly upset or needs a little bit of help. Not to give advice, but just to maybe point them in the right direction. I think the average attendance is usually about 18, and it's gone up to 24 on a couple of occasions, or it's gone down to, I think there's 12 or 13. It doesn't matter to me, you know, that they'll come or they won't come, but they just need to know there is no restriction on them coming, because some of these people have been coming since I've been doing it.
Which is how long?
So I think I'm thinking about two years maybe. I've been running it, and I absolutely love it, you know, because I know it helps people.
And I really think what's great about it is that you don't have to have a connection with this place in order to attend. I mean, that's quite remarkable, really, isn't it? So well done for that. And I've already heard people talking about how they love coming here and going around the grounds and visiting their loved ones' graves or their memorials. And then I've also heard people saying they can't.
Yeah.
They simply can't do that.
Yeah. And I mean, you know as well as I do, you know, everybody has their own timeline of how they heal. So, you know, if we can do a little bit to help that, then yeah, let's do it.
Thank you very much indeed. Well, I'm now joined by Robert and Shirley, who are going to tell me a bit about what they get from coming to this bereavement group. Robert, can we start with you? What brought you here in the first place?
I decided about 3 months after my wife had died that I needed to rebuild my social life. And just saying that is now making me feel emotional, and I don't normally, you know, I just...
But you were feeling a bit sad.
Yeah, so I set out to do various things that would get me out and about and away from doing the probates and all those things that need doing. And they sort of come to an end, and I thought, I must get myself a social life going again. And so I joined various things, this bereavement group being one of them. Thought I'll go along and see what it's like. I've been coming ever since, so it's I must be getting something, but it's just sitting and meeting people and chatting and listening to what they've got to say. I don't feel I contribute much on the grieving side of things, but I tend to see the funny side of things most of the time, and make some sort of joke about it. You know, but that's just me, you know.
And interesting that you introduced yourself to me, not when we were recording, but beforehand, by saying you didn't think you had the same emotional problems as some of the rest of the group. And yet when you started talking there...
I'm not emotionless, but a lot of people emote verbally, and I don't. I don't have much to say about how I feel. But I do feel things, you know. It's strange. We had a session last month where it was about grief. And I don't feel grief. It's a funny thing to say, isn't it? And yet now, talking about it, it's triggering me. It's all right.
Well, we don't want to upset you.
No. It won't last. My sense of humour will take over again any minute.
So for some people, not talking about it feels better, doesn't it? Because it prevents them getting emotional. Other people want to talk about it because they want to express
yes,
the emotion.
Yeah, I don't feel the need to talk about it. You know, but if I do, then it triggers things. You know.
So you said you wanted to come for the social side, and has that worked out for you?
Yes.
Made friends?
Yes. Yes. Each month I come and we chat, and it's meeting up with people. And I do the same with things like the library luncheon club and meeting up with my old computer club mates. I like to meet with people and just have a chat about anything really, but I don't feel the need to do it, but I do get satisfaction from doing it. Mm.
So let's talk to Shirley now. What brought you first to the group?
Well, it took me a very long time to come here, I have to say. When I did come, I don't know. It's just meeting like-minded people, I guess. Although I'm different in as much as I don't focus on myself. I can't talk about me or the reasons why I'm here and so on. I think I focus more on what I can contribute to the group. And I kind of feel like I do in as much as Robert said, the social side, social aspect. And we have a WhatsApp group where usually me, I'll organise like a coffee morning or a lunch or something. Other people in the group will organise a walk and just different things, a theatre trip, whatever. So it is very social. A lovely bunch of people, all different ages. And regardless of who they've lost, you know, child or parent, sibling or spouse, we're all in the same situation and we all understand. You know, as one of the ladies here said, we just get it. You don't have to explain yourself. You can just be yourself and, yeah, just you're just accepted. You know, we're all there for the same reason, yeah. You know, so... But no, we've had some lovely lunches, haven't we? And coffee
yes,
mornings.
Yeah. You're the driving force.
But Robert is amazing, considering his
age.
Am I allowed to say?
Yes.
Are you 91 now?
91, yeah.
And he.
I'm amazed.
He always turns up. He's always happy to drive wherever we go.
Yeah. Although I've just given up. Long distance driving, so I drive locally now.
I said to you earlier about I'm trying to tell people how easy it is. Well, it's not always easy for people, but I found it easy to go travelling on my own, and I've encouraged other people and inspired other people to do the same. And it just opens up a whole new world, and if you don't know what's out there for solos, you know, I just think it's my job to tell people my experience. And, some people have booked trips themselves and people that I thought, wow, good on you. You know, people that you wouldn't expect. So
it seems to me that what started as a bereavement group for support for bereaved people has turned into a friendship group. Mm,
definitely.
Yes, it has. It has. Largely due to Shirley, who takes the initiative on so many occasions.
But having said it's a friendship group, it does come back to that thing that you just said, that it is the ability to talk to people who get it.
Yes.
Yes, that is important.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, generally goes on in the room, stays in the room. Mm. But I just do know for sure that we can be ourselves and say anything. Mm. And it's just not an issue. You just don't feel embarrassed, whereas with maybe other friends and family, you think, oh, do you really want to go there, you know? And I certainly don't, but...
They think you're going to join a load of miserable old people who are crying all the time.
Yeah, it's just not like that at all,
no,
is it?
No, it isn't.
Robert's the joker, I have to say. And we expect it from you.
Yes. I'm afraid... Yeah, I have difficulty not taking things seriously, but I tend to see the funny side of something.
Well, as I said to Jane earlier on, it's a group where you can talk about the serious stuff, but you can also have a laugh.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah, we do.
Well, thank you both so much for talking
to me. That's all right.
It's been a really interesting morning, and I think I'll be back. And now I'm joined by KD and Jeff and Bridget. And I'd like to start with you, KD, first of all. Could you tell me what brought you to the group first, in the first place?
So my mum is buried here. She's been here since 2012. So I've been coming to the park a long time. And I'd originally heard about the group, but it was on a Thursday, so I was never able to come because I was at work. And when my mum was first buried, I came as often as I possibly could. And I really struggled to not be here with her. So when I heard that the groups were moving to a Saturday, I thought, well, I love being here, so let's just give it a go. And I actually found that coming once a month and dedicating this time to being here and being with my mum before the group has been enough that I actually have been able to, I don't want to say obsess, but I think it was borderline an obsession of, in an unhealthy way, I just needed to be here with her all the time. So it was to try something different, and the community that we've created is what keeps me coming back.
And it's a very mixed age group. I would say you're the youngest I've seen today, but that doesn't bother you, obviously.
No, I'm a people person, so no, it doesn't bother me at all.
So what's the best benefit you've had from it, would you say?
I think the togetherness, really. For me, this is a safe place. And knowing that I can be vulnerable with people that understand. And sometimes I come in here and I have a great day, and sometimes I have a not so great day, but I'm supported no matter what. And I don't have to apologise for how I'm feeling. And I always feel better when I leave. And even if I come here and I just make someone else feel better, then that's still a good day. And I think being in the grief club, while it's the worst club to be in, it kind of gives you, I think, a bit of a superpower in that you have this ability to empathise and help others. And my best friend recently lost her mum 2 weeks ago. And so I'm now able to support her in a way that I needed all those years ago. And I think that's one of the positive things that's come out of my grief journey, is being able to support and give knowledge to other people who are experiencing it.
Can I now go on to Jeff and ask you what brought you to the group in the first place?
Well, because I was becoming very, very lonely after my wife died, it was suggested that I join walking groups, rambling groups. But when I went on one of the walks, one of the ladies actually that has been here or coming here for about 4 years mentioned about Greenacre. And then she encouraged me to go to a seminar here with Bill Webster, which meant nothing to me either. And I just listened and I thought, yeah, maybe. And then the way that she spoke to me, and probably the way that I was feeling and talking to her, she said, you will get a great benefit from it. So because I'd made a commitment to her, I came. And when I listened to him, I just couldn't believe it. What he was actually saying, and obviously he was talking to a group, it was as if he was talking to me and knew exactly how I was feeling. I didn't know I was grieving. I just accepted the fact that, you know, I'm on my own now. I've got to get on with my life. I've got to clear the messes up that I make. There's nobody around to do that. And that really came hard. And I got an awful lot from that. So then it was encouraged then that I should possibly come to the meetings. So yes, I did. And this is probably my third time here. But the first time I came, yes, I listened. And then I begin to more understand what I needed to do for myself. No one's going to come to you. You've got to go to them. And that's what I realised. And since my third meeting, I'm getting an awful lot from it, but I'm feeling a lot more relaxed. My biggest problem, really, is to fill my week up, because I get very, very lonely, and it's worse at night. And then when I listen to other people, like within the group, they all do things to probably stop that loneliness. So I'm going through a bit of a learning curve, really, as to what to do. Unfortunately, my health has deteriorated a little bit, but it just seems since Beverly died, it seems one thing after another. I've always been as fit as a fiddle, because my biggest worry is when I have the operation, who the hell's going to look after me? Well, there's no one to look after me, so I've got to do that myself. But again, when I listen to the group, as I have done, yeah, people have gone through situations that now I'm facing. They've got over it. So really, yeah, I'm getting an awful lot from the group. I really am, but it's one hell of a learning curve.
But what you're saying is you're getting comfort from it.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. I am now. I didn't realise that I would, because I never accepted the fact that there were this grief counselling and being able to talk to other people that are in the same position that you're in. We've all lost somebody.
Well, thank you ever so much, Jeff, for sharing that. I'll talk to Bridget now. And thank you for coming. And could you tell me what brought you to the group in the first place?
When my husband died, we knew we wanted eco-burial. And I hadn't been here, but we've had friends who've been buried in eco-cemeteries in other parts of the country. And when I came up here, it was just so delightful to find the woodland already here. Not that they were about to plant trees. And it was a lovely place to come. And I'm very similar to Katie, that I don't want to be here all the time. I don't live here. I have to come. And coming once a month was quite convenient. It's a beautiful place to come and walk anyway. So I usually come for coffee for a couple of hours and an hour or two's walk around the woods, depending on what's happening. And previously, we've also had the woodsmen show us around the woods in their way. And we've also planted things that we have been allowed to plant, because this is eco-territory. It all has to be special here and fit in.
But what about the discussion in the group? How do you find that?
It's a learning curve. Everybody is different. And I'm very similar in the fact that it's a safe place and we can say anything. And I think it's very different from counselling. And you're getting the benefit of other people's learning, and I think we're unbelievably badly educated on any of this stuff. I think it's got worse, actually, because if I go back, men weren't allowed into birthing chambers and were quite often walking up and down outside hospitals or not even allowed in. Now they're there waiting to catch a baby. And what's happened is death, which was nearly always at home, has kind of been sanitized and taken away. So I think people really don't know how to deal with it in the way that they would have done even 50 years ago.
I interviewed Dr. Bill Webster before, who said that the Victorians were very good at grief and mourning and bad at talking about sex, and we've gone the other way around. Mm.
Yes, no, I think that's very true. I don't know why we've lost it. I had to have a terrible fight with the medical profession to have my husband home to die. And I was only in a position to do that because I failed in that fight with my mum. So I think these things are very complicated. I mean, in general, I think our society is falling apart, so I'm quite cynical about it.
But it's also interesting how different faiths and different cultures deal with death and dying, isn't it? And again, I've interviewed people from the Muslim faith, the Jewish faith, the Buddhist faith, and Irishmen as well. Mm-hmm. And they are very much more open about it. You know, they keep the coffin at home. People come and pay their respects to the dead in what we would consider now an old-fashioned way. But once you've been through grief, you can understand how that helps, can't you?
Yes. I mean, I remember a book called The Hills is Lonely, where somebody had a breakdown and went to an island off Scotland, one of the islands. And there was a funeral, and they brought the coffin. They brought him down the stairs and put him in the coffin, and he was in the corner while they had the ceilidh and the wake, which I thought was rather fun, but slightly different. And I don't think it's what would happen here anymore. I mean, here you phone up a funeral parlour and they come and take the body as soon as is possible. And that isn't what used to happen.
And that's part of the point of the podcast, is that we don't talk about death and dying until it actually affects us directly, do we? And then it comes as such a shock.
Well, I think it's very difficult. I was very lucky. I had a nurse there the night that my husband died who helped us lay out and told us what we needed to be doing. And that was helpful. And why the hell don't I know? Why isn't this part of my education? I think it's very important. I can remember being places where somebody'd say, oh, I expect him, her to walk back through the door at any minute. If you've actually washed and laid somebody out, you do not expect them to walk back through the door. So it is part of a process that has been taken away from us, which I think is incredibly important. It's a very important part of the process. The Muslim faith still do it. They still wash. And I mean, we have areas now for shroud burial and things like that. I mean, it is getting a bit better. And this is unconsecrated ground, so anybody can be buried here, which is quite nice. So there isn't an argument about whether they are this or that or the other. You know, they are somebody that needs to be buried, or their ashes need to be here. And I think that's much healthier attitude.
Well, thank you, Bridget. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Jeff, for talking to me. And I hope you continue to get succour and help from each other.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Death is never easy, but there are ways we can help each other through it. And if you've found any of these episodes helpful, please think about liking and sharing. And if you can help spread the word by telling just one other person, thank you. And a huge thanks to Joe Barrett, without whom these podcasts would simply not be possible. You can contact us on hello@livingwithdying.co.uk.